Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. RV, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. Purdy Insurance will make sure you're fully insured. That's number one. Number two, let's face it, in these times, you're looking for any way to save money. If you can get your insurance and save money, Purdy Insurance will make it happen. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. A time now for the Matt Cotrillo. I've been aching to say something all weekend.
Oh, this is a good day for it. This is a good day for it, Steve, because let me tell you something. There was a whole lot of stupid that went down over the weekend that we need to address. A whole lot of stupid that went down.
Gee, and I felt like I had a nice, calm, cool, collected weekend.
That's stemmed into today as well.
Oh, into today.
Yes.
Right. Staff meeting? No.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
No, but that is shocking, but no, it was not. It had to do with the staff meeting today. Actually, we're not even meeting this week, so.
Oh, no wonder everybody's so relaxed.
Exactly.
Wait,
right.
These rants must be really bad because you're about as relaxed as you're going to get at work.
Well, a majority of it has to do with what happened in the women's title game last night.
I'll be honest with you. I saw a little bit of it. I didn't see a lot of it. I know what happened, but
yeah, that's kind of where I am. I just did a little bit more digging earlier today just to kind of see what else went down. But oftentimes, the coach, the way that he or she conducts him or herself, trickles down to the players. And I think that is the case with Kim Mulkey. Now, she's done a good job, of course. She gets the first national title for LSU. I get that. But you know what? The way that she conducted herself during the game last night, she was an absolute lunatic. An absolute lunatic. Between being on the court, getting in the middle of play tons of times, then coming into contact with an official. The official's not even calling that, and that's the next part of the stupid we're going to get to. And then the way she conducts herself after the fact, being snippy with the media, when you just won a national title. And you can clearly see it trickle down to the players. Every time they hit a shot, it's like this extracurricular activity and gestures and signs going on, and them acting like banshees all over the place, screaming up and down and chanting up and down. It was exhausting to watch that LSU team celebrate every shot. I mean, you can celebrate, you can be fired up. They were the underdog last night. I get that, but there comes to a point in time where you gotta pump the brakes a little and just focus on playing the game. Obviously, they shot the daylights out and they won. But, gee whiz. I mean, that was a little nauseating. And Angela Reese. Now, trash talk happens. I'm not necessarily going to criticize her for the trash talk because that happens on the court. What I have a problem with was how she handled herself in the media afterwards, calling people out left and right. And then the way that whole exchange with her and Ellie Duncan, who I think is one of the worst ESPN anchors I've ever seen. She's as annoying as you can get. and the rest of that crew on set. Just the way that, I think they egged her on a little bit too with the in the face stuff.
You watched way more of this than I ever did. No offense. I was doing my taxes yesterday, so I had not had a chance to do it.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells foul.
Well, you were better off because
I had. Let's face it, the season went long, which is beautiful. I'm so glad it did. But that also means that
you got some catching up to do.
I had a little catching up to do yesterday, which I did. So
I get that. Yeah.
I really don't care what anybody said.
I mean, trust me, you were better off. I just have no words for how LSU conducted themselves. That they were not graceful. I can tell you that.
Okay.
It was to me that was pretty embarrassing.
Okay.
It starts with the head coach, who is an absolute lunatic on the court. And I've seen some bad behavior before, being where I stand. I sit courtside for every Bucknell game, men and women, and I've seen some things. But that was as bad as it gets. And I'm watching that from TV, 30,000 feet. That was as bad as it gets. Then we get to the officiating. They were way in over their head. And that's embarrassing for the NCAA to have something like that happen on that kind of stage. You're supposed to pick the best crew to handle a championship game, and they couldn't have handled that game last night any worse than what they did. To no technicals at all on Kim Mulkey, especially after the contact there, late in the third quarter, whatever it was, to all the fouls they called, period, in the game, to the outrageous technical foul called against Caitlin Clark late in the third quarter, where delay a game? There was a delay a game because there was nobody there to take the ball from her. Everybody's huddled up in their own huddles anyway. The closest official was on the other side of the court. And they give her the technical foul for delaying the game by throwing the ball out of bounds? Are you kidding me? That resulted in her fourth foul of the game. Iowa seniors, who everybody wants to see, we're off the court in the middle of the fourth quarter. And they're lucky they're going to get away with this because all this, you have this all this other nonsense that people are talking about with the women's game, and plus the great play that we saw up to this point and including last night with, once again, what Caitlin Clark did. If you're trying to raise a sport in women's basketball, which is still there, mind you, despite all this, atrocity by the officials, you got to keep the stars in the game and not handle yourself with this ticky-tackiness and, again, make the game about you when you were clearly in over your head last night. I mean, that was awful. That was absolutely awful. That's exactly what I feel. That's what I should have done last night. Rip it up.
I did my taxes yesterday. All right, so...
so that was just all from last night.
Oh, we're not done? Okay. Keep going.
And then, now, let me start with this. I hate April Fool's Day. I think it's the stupidest thing ever created. It's the dumbest day of the year. It just creates, it just doesn't create good things. All it does is aggravation, I think, for some people. Because there was a story out there that was April Fool's satire. It was clearly in the piece, but not in the headline, that said that Bronny James was committing to Penn State. Now, mostly everybody got a kick out of that I saw. But let me tell you something. Journalism, you're supposed to be about the truth. And I know there's a lot of debate about that these days. Don't add to that by putting out a ridiculous satire story. Journalism is not satire. Journalism is journalism, the truth. Don't put out stories like that. Don't try to deceive your audience because of some dumb holiday of April Fool's Day. There's many other ways you can do it. Don't put out fabricated stories like that. I'm sorry.
Who wrote that?
It was Onward State.
Oh, okay.
And I know they do this every year, but I think they need to look back at themselves. And I get what kind of organization they are. I understand that. But let me tell you something. If you want to survive in this business, you don't pull off stuff like that. I'm sorry. I had a major problem with that Bronny James story. I really did.
Okay.
You don't fool your audience by any stretch. Especially on a dumb day like April Fool's. You just don't do it.
I've done that for years. What are you talking about?
Oh, my almighty!
It's been the entire key to my success. How often can I fool them?
So, yeah, that was all the stupid that occurred this weekend.
There's nothing else?
Luckily, no.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to give you credit. That took up the entire opening segment.
I really don't plan on these things. All this material just presented itself because it was out there. And you know me, I can't ignore stupid, and there was a whole lot of stupid this weekend.
Well, I think we need to take a break. Nice cold drink would help you.
Oh, I plan on it.
In fact, you know what? Maybe you ought to be neat. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Were you sitting on the...
Oh, I was waiting.
How long were you sitting on the...
I tell you, I was waiting. Me?
At what point were you waiting to pull out this?
Man.
This kind of the
Caitlin Clark is a hell of a
incredible
player, for sure. But I don't take disrespect lightly. And she disrespected Alexis and my girls. South Carolina, they still my SEC girls, too. But y'all not going to disrespect them either. So I wanted to pick her pocket, but I had a moment at the end of the game, and that was just, I was in my bag. I was in my moment. Yeah.
No good! No good! No good!
Is that what you're upset about?
Yes, that was the exchange with Angela Reese and the ESPN crew on set afterwards, yeah. Oh, you didn't get anything out of it? Yeah, I didn't either.
Look. It's to the point where I don't care. That I don't watch post-game shows. I don't, you know, the only post-game interviews I hear are the ones that Jack and I or Dick Girardi and I conduct. I don't usually pay much attention to it. To me, the game is the entire thing. What the reaction is to the game or antics that you have during the course of the game. I honestly don't care. Caitlin Clark is a terrific offensive player. There's just no getting around it. Beautiful, I mean, great range, great shot, fabulous passer. gets involved in the mix. I mean, are there areas she needs to improve? Yeah, she needs to be a better defender. I mean, you know, when they're sitting down and they're doing, hey, you know, when they're sitting down in the matchup segment, I mean, the opposing team, her name's coming up. Like, a, you know, attacker. I mean, cause, I mean, you might be able to draw fouls, or if you're not, you know, so she's going to become a better defender. And she also has to avoid the quadruple-double. I mean, you know how close she was to a quadruple-double in the two games leading up to the championship game? This close. Points, rebounds, assists. Well, what's the fourth one? Steals? No. Blocks? No. Turnovers. Turns the ball over too much. I know she has the ball in her hand a lot, a ton, but she's got to be better at that. But she is a terrific, terrific player. She's fun to watch, without question. But that's, I guess she did it the other night. I guess they did it to her. It's like, okay, fine. See, I don't pay attention to that stuff. I really don't. I disappoint you.
Yeah.
Because I think it's irrelevant. I don't, you know, and that's the word that used to drive the suit nuts every time I used something came up. I go, well, that's kind of irrelevant. I mean, I know it's a story today, but a story of what? Did it determine who won the game, lost the game? You know, I'm just into what determines winning and losing. I disappoint you, I can tell. I mean, like I said, I don't sit there and watch post-game stuff. I really don't care. Now, I might watch tonight because I want to see one shiny moment if Penn State makes the cut, which I assume they will. It'll probably be like a 3-point shot or something, but it'll be nice to see Penn State in there. But, you know, the other stuff about, I don't know, you can, was it, you can, John Cena, you can see me, or well, I don't know what it is. Who knows? I don't.
You can't see me, is what they were doing. Right. Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't. Sorry, I don't care. I honestly don't care. I care about the game, how the game was played out or whatever. And again, I really didn't watch a lot of it. It was like the last, I don't know, quarter was in the background as I'm going through and doing this. Sorry. I feel like I've taken all the air out of your disgust.
It evens it out. It's okay.
I don't care what. If anybody wants to do that, that's up to them. I'm not. I really don't worry too much about it. To me, it's how was the game played? Right? What was the key to winning the game? I don't know. That's just me. I know you wish I would get more upset about stuff. Now, the officiating part, now that does determine a game. There's no question about that.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. Number one, they want to make sure that your needs on insurance are fulfilled. Number two, if they can save you money, they'll do everything they can because they know the way everything's going today, saving money is critical. And customer service means everything to them. All at Sunbury Motors, all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Is there anything else?
There is something else, but it can wait.
No, go ahead. Let her rip.
Well, this one has to do with Jalen Carter. He, first of all, he hired Drew Rosenhaus as his agent. That's strike number one. Because, as you know, I'm not a big Rosenhaus guy. I think he's one of the biggest snakes in the business. But, secondly, Rosenhaus got Jalen Carter to agree to only do visits with teams in the top 10. What is he doing? Do you not know what all the baggage you have right now might cause you to slip past the top 10? You better be as accessible to any NFL team as you want, because guess what? Your future's on the line right now. I mean, you got some pair of goyoons to only keep it to teams in the top 10 because you think that's where you're still going to go. I don't care what kind of influence Drew Rosenhaus put on you. I mean, shame on him, first of all, but I've grown to expect that. I'm not surprised by Drew Rosenhaus because that's the kind of agent he is. He's in it for himself and not the player. But Jalen Carter, man, what are you doing, man? I have no idea what you're doing. No idea. For me, that would be the very last straw, crossing him off my board list. I do not want to see him in Midnight Green. And I already know the Eagles have had a pre-draft visit with him. I think that happened over the weekend, in fact. But I do not want to see him in Midnight Green. There's too much baggage. I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, you know the number of guys over the years that have told me that when they got drafted, that the first time they ever talked to anybody from the team was when they drafted him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that happens all the time. It's not really an indication that they're going to draft him, but
I feel like I kill everything you do.
I mean, this is more on Jalen Carter than it is about the Eagles bringing him in for a visit. I just think Jalen Carter is screwing up his future. He's just continuing to make bad decision after bad decision.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And part of it is, too, that, you know what the biggest concern for me after, you know, everything, obviously, because would I draft him? No. But I'm looking at a guy who's put on a lot of weight. I mean, he popped up 9 pounds in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, and that's on my list, too. Yeah, you couldn't finish drills at your own pro day? I mean, really?
That would bother me. I'd sit there and like, hey, good. Hey, look, you're in the job interview for the that's going to set you up for the rest of your life. This is how you're treating it. Yeah. Well, if you're going to treat the job interview like that, how are you going to treat the job? I mean, that's always a big question. If you're going to treat the job interview like that, then how are you going to treat the job? Okay.
All right, I'm done now, I promise.
Well, we're more than a half hour into the show, and I've hardly said a word.
I told you I said there was a whole lot of stupid happening right now.
Well, I feel we can all now have a reason to live.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
1986, January. Washington played USC in college basketball. It was January 11th, 1986. 26-year-old took on the assignment of being the play-by-play guy, working next to former Kentucky standout Larry Conley. It's Jim Nantz. Tonight, his 32-year run of announcing the Final Four will come to a close. And the he's done great work over the years. Great work. And he received a standing ovation on Saturday. From the crowd in Houston. And he has meant a lot to the work that CBS and in part TBS, because they'll slide over, obviously. And to the college basketball coverage, it's been phenomenal. I mean, remember, he replaced Brent Musburger. They say he's done, what, 575 TV broadcasts for CBS for basketball? Remarkable. So all credit to him, because that kind of longevity should be saluted. Now, as for the end of the San Diego State game, okay. San Diego's the win over Florida Atlantic. Let's be honest with you. That was, for Brian Dutcher, you know, obviously all these boxes had to be checked to make this work. The players had to execute it. But they carried it out exactly the way you needed to carry it out. You're down by three. There's 42 and a half, maybe 43 seconds to go, right? They come out and do a quick hitting too. And my first thought was, that's brilliant, because he's now created a 2-for-1. Right? They got the first half of the 2-for-1 done. They scored. They made it a 1-point game. Unfortunately, it wasn't mentioned. So then Florida Atlantic gets the ball. My first thought is, okay, now you got to play it out. Now you got 6.5 second difference between shot clock and game clock. You're probably going to get the ball back with 8. You got plenty of time. Plenty of time. As long as Florida Atlantic doesn't hit a 3. About, what, 17 seconds to go, Florida Atlantic calls a timeout. Okay. And and they come out of it, and this is finally where, I don't know, somebody said, they got it, you know, now you got to play it out. Yeah, because you can't foul now. But you're not, you don't want to foul there anyway. It makes zero sense, the entire possession, to foul. Because the worst thing you can do is now foul, and now there's 28 seconds to go. Oh, by the way, the shot clock's off. So you don't want to foul. You want to play it out. And Florida Atlantic missed the shot, and San Diego State got the rebound. And how many, during the course of the play, how many times did you hear them say, call timeout? Like, oh, contraire, mon frere. No. There are multiple ways to win. Right? And it can't always be you call timeout. And if you have a veteran team out there, and Brian Dutcher for the most part does, you don't call a timeout there. You've got the other team backpedaling. You have them in scramble mode. It's also panic mode because this is the last shot. And this is, you know, and it's the one thing about when Penn State played Purdue. Yeah, I really felt like Micah should not have called the timeout. And then when I talked to him after the game about it, guess what he told me? He said, "Steve, I probably shouldn't have called the timeout." I said, "Yeah, I know." Right? Because he had him, because Purdue wasn't able to set up the defense. You call a timeout if you have a relatively inexperienced team or is playing like a team that's unsure of itself, then you do have to call a timeout. But San Diego State wasn't playing like that. They're playing like an experienced team that knew what it was doing. So you make them backpedal and, you know, and try to make up for it and close out. And Butler hit the shot. It is the first time in the history of the Final Four, first time ever, that a shot was taken to end the game where the team that took the shot was losing and won. Oh, we've seen other shots. Yeah, but the game was tied. There's a difference. This is one where San Diego State, the ball went up. If you miss the shot, you're going to lose. If you make the shot, you are going to win. It's the first time in the history of the Final Four that's ever happened. Now they have UConn tonight. So let's get to, and the Dan Patrick took some of what I wanted to talk about anyway. Since 1999, who's won more national championships in college basketball? It's UConn. UConn's won four. If they win tonight, that's five. Second, North Carolina and Duke have three each. Kansas has two. Kentucky has one. UConn will have five. Why aren't they a blue blood? Michigan State's a blue blood, and they've won one. So, I think UConn will win tonight. I think it's a game where San Diego State needs to keep the game in the 60s, low 60s, I think UConn will play the game and score into the mid to upper 70s. And they will win.
Yeah, I don't think this is a close game tonight.
Well, remember, San Diego State is an excellent defensive team. So, don't, you know, anybody that's an excellent defensive team, I don't count out. All right, ever. But to me, UConn themselves happen to be a really good defensive team, and they can beat you with threes, they can beat you inside, and they can beat you with defense.
Exactly right.
And that's the big difference. That is the big difference. One surprising note from the NBA collective bargaining agreement. And for years I have talked about how the 2024 draft, it'll play out in such a way where older players need not apply because the 18-year-olds will all be involved in the draft and all the one-and-dones will be involved in the draft all at the same time. Not going to happen. Something I've mentioned for years on the show came to fruition. As you know, the NBA owners would like to see the league, and justifiably, because I think it's a better product, a little older, more mature. All right. So they wanted it to be 20 years of age and 2 years out of high school. Now, they did not bring it. And now, in this collective bargaining, they did not bring that up. So that was not on the table. It's been on the table in years past, but not now. Meanwhile, the Players Association, 18-year-old, 18-year-old, 18-year-old. Well, guess what? The point I've been making for years is that I have been always confused by that. Isn't it your job to represent the current rank and file? They're the ones paying the union dues. The 18-year-olds aren't. They aren't in the league yet. So what are you fighting for them for? I've never understood that part. Well, guess what? You know what the older players told the Players Association? Hey, what about us? You know, we're paying dues. We're in the league. You know, how about protecting us for once? So instead of having a 24 draft that is loaded with one-and-dones and 18-year-olds, which would have then cost older players jobs, they decided not to go for that, and they left it out. It's still going to be one-and-done and 19 years of age. Now, if you're an 18-year-old, you still have plenty of options. LaMelo Ball, for example, who was last year's NBA Rookie of the Year, did not play college basketball. He went and played in Europe. Hampton, well, R.J. Hampton, played in New Zealand, was a first-round pick. And this, and I can list several others that have done the same thing. Plus, you can go to NBA the G League Ignite team and make, believe it or not, low six figures. And the players were the ones that ended up fighting to keep this in place. The NBA Players Association said straight out, we represent current and past NBA players, and while there will be future players who join it, it's not the union's responsibility to act in the best interests of its future members. Yay. It's actually a good move. And there's going to be an in-season tournament as well. The two teams playing in the tournament championship game will end up playing one more game than everybody else. So they'll play 83 games. Won't matter. Most of the guys will opt out anyway. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, your home for the Macatrillo Rant Parade.
I only stood up. You guys insisted that I stand up. Thank you, guys, and thank you, Alana Campbell. She put together a piece that they aired in the building. It aired during our pregame show today, and I'm still choked up.
Heartwarming.
It's amazing.
No reception here.
Yep. That is, he has put in some great work over the decades. And tonight will be the basketball curtain call for Jim Nantz. Still, he'll have the NFL, he'll have golf, and of course, he'll be at Augusta National as part of that coverage coming up this weekend. But this will be the basketball curtain call tonight. And nice that he got such a great ovation at NRG Stadium yesterday, or Saturday, I should say. Great for him. Do you have any complaints about him, or is you okay with him? Or?
No, I would never have any complaints about Jim Nantz.
Okay. I mean, I did talk to him briefly at Chicago a couple weeks ago, but briefly. Look, he's a good guy. You know, it's like, you know, I've always liked talking to him. He's very humble. All right. We're going to talk with Dennis Dodd in the final half hour. And then that'll lead to a Matt rant in the final 5 minutes. Safe to say?
The rate we've been going, probably.
Football, of course, the blue-white game is a week from Saturday. Next up will be a practice tomorrow. And this has been, first of all, because they have plenty of offensive linemen available, this has been about as, quote, normal a look to a spring practice as we've seen in years. No COVID battle, no offensive line depth issues or anything like that. And I think it has benefited them tremendously. And I'll say this. It's one thing about going against a quality defense every day. It's going to make the offense even better. Bob Knight hospitalized over the weekend with an undisclosed illness. Email asked for prayers, said the former coach hoped to return home soon.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.